Good morning, everybody. We're doing a series called Prayer Everywhere, and it's based on a book by Pete Gregg, which there are some copies at the back. You can even borrow one if you want to, or get yourself one, because actually they're very good. How to Pray, a Simple Guide for Normal People. We thought we were enough normal people here that we could work well with that. And it's got a really good pattern, actually, along the side of the wall. You can see them there as well. But basically the idea is that it's linked our shape of our sermons are linked on the word pray, the letters of it. There's so many ways to talk about prayer. This is a good route in. And those each have something they stand for. Pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. We've already done pause and rejoice. Today is ask, and then we're doing yield. And you might be thinking, oh, but I thought that when I picked up this sheet at the back, which you're very welcome to do, I saw that the course went on further than next week. Which is true. We're doing yield in Lent. And yielding, or if you're working with children, it was suggested you could say yes. But actually yielding is saying, it's not about me, it's about you, God. And so actually, as we go into Lent, thinking it's not about me, it's about you, that's a good way of doing things. And if you pick up one of these sheets today, you will notice, maybe, that it doesn't have the mistake that everyone else's sheet has. Because what we're doing over the next few weeks is next week, we're doing confession and reconciliation as our topic. The sheet actually said repentance and forgiveness. It was me being confused as I wrote it down. But the particular focus will be on confession and reconciliation. Really good things in the same ballpark, so that's okay. But so that's the first week of Lent. We're looking at that. Then the second week of Lent, we're looking particularly at unanswered prayer. Then we'll be looking at listening and contemplation. After Mothering Sunday, we'll look at spiritual warfare, and then we'll get ourselves to Palm Sunday. How amazing, nearly Easter by then. So that's where we're going with this. And what Pete Gregg would encourage us all to do, which I think is fantastic, is when we're thinking about prayer, whatever we're doing, whether we're doing it or trying to learn about it, keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. And that's a really helpful thing to think about as we go through this. So, we are on A for ask. And really, that's a helpful place to be. If you think about prayer and don't get at all complicated, you're going to come up with asking. Prayer is so often about asking. In a way, for a lot of people, it's the most natural kind of prayer. It's the first prayer they pray. It's the first thing they do. And we're going to get to that in just a bit. But on the with the principle that this is a simple guide for normal people, I looked around to try and find a normal person and came up with Rachel. That was maybe having given up already. I'm not sure. You can ask Rachel whether she thinks she's a normal person. But what we did last week, and we're doing again this week, but only one person this week, is getting somebody from amongst us to talk about prayer and their experience of it, because that's how we'll learn, isn't it, about other people. So Rachel, would you like to come up and just talk a little bit to us about prayer from your point of view?
Well, I'm constantly asking for God to heal my youngest daughter, who has a lot of health problems. And I've been praying for years now, and I pray every day for her and at several times of the day, and it hasn't happened yet. But we have a lot of appointments down in London, so I'll pray for the practical things that maybe God could help us with maybe, you know, a seat on the train if we've not been able to book it, and we've always miraculously managed to get that, and kind people who've maybe given up their seats for her to with her walking stick. And I sometimes feel a bit bad asking God for simple things like car parking spaces so we can park the car so I can go in for a consultation with her, and that's happened. But one of the main things for me was when I was standing in the middle of London and there was a tube strike, and it was near Christmas, and there were no taxis because Emily can't go on the underground. And I just said, Lord, I need a taxi. And I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turned around and saw two men, and they said, oh, are you all right? And I said, no, I need a taxi, and just explained briefly. And they said, well, there's a taxi over there that's by St. Pancras Hotel. So I looked, and there was just one lone taxi there. And I thought, Lord, please let that taxi be for us. And I thought, well, maybe somebody's, you know, booked it from the hotel. And we went across, and he just managed to pull in for his lunch. And he said, of course I'll take you. So he took us, and we managed to get to the appointment on time. So even though the big picture at the moment isn't really sort of, I feel, being answered, the little things are that make it easier. And when I pray for Emily to have a day that where she's not too exhausted, she'll you know, have a fairly good day to get her through. And I think it's just about not giving up and trusting, and just keep praying for that to happen, even though you don't feel it's being answered straight away. But I believe it will be in God's own time. So I hope that's all right.
Thank you, Rachel, that's fair. Preach it, Rachel.
Thank you. Thanks very much. That's brilliant. In fact, some of that will be repeated a bit later on, you'll find. Thank you. Really appreciate that, Rachel. That's in the reality of recognising that our prayers are sometimes yearnings that go on being yearnings. God, it's always good to notice what God does do, and that's fantastic. Really good stuff. So, I'm going to get technical now. When you think about prayer from a Christian point of view, there are two words which you ask about. If you have the word ask, if you think about asking God, there are two words which crop up. One of them is petition, and the other one is intercession. And these are words which we don't particularly use in very much the rest of life. Maybe petition we do. And you think of signing a petition or even maybe petitioning somebody about something. Basically, petition is making a request, and it's normally to a superior or an authority. You take a request to somebody who is the one who could potentially make this happen. That's what petition is about. And then you've got intercession, or if you're doing it, it's called interceding. So to intercede, what does that mean? I love this. Actually, intercede is between go. That's what those two bits of the word mean. Between go, not in English. But anyway, that's where the word comes from. And it's to go between. And this fantastic definition, which is to intervene or mediate, in other words, to get together, between parties of an equal, as an equal friend of both. So this is where you've got you're friends with both, you're trying to get things together, get things to work together. That's what intercession is about when we pray. And I think that's fantastic, bringing God to people, bringing people to God. But, big question mark, that's going to stay up for a while now. Why do we ask? Why do we pray like this? Apart from the fact it's totally natural, but we might think, oh, that's one of our natural things we ought to get over. We ought to get to the stage where we trust God so much. We don't need to ask. Why do we bother? Well, first thing is we're told to from the top. Jesus gave instructions to us to ask. We had our reading, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And this is about God, Jesus telling us God is our loving Father. He gives the example of human fathers doing their best and says, surely God, even more so, will give you good things. That's fantastic. Of course we would ask something of a loving Father, and maybe not just strictly the things we need, but even the things we want. That's okay. That's the sort of asking that Jesus encourages. Jesus told parables about praying and not giving up, keeping on asking. And something we miss as modern readers is the fact that when we have the Lord's Prayer, which we're so familiar with, there is a part of that prayer which would already have been familiar to the people at the time, or at least a flow of the prayer. There was a prayer called the Kaddish, which was around at the time, and it goes like this. Magnified and hallowed be his great name, in the world which he created according to his will, and may he establish his kingdom during your life. Those are patterns of words which are very much there in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And yet Jesus added to those. He used those words, but he added bits. And the bits that he added are really significant, surely. Jesus looked at a prayer that was being prayed and said, yes, good stuff, but there's more. And what was the more? Well, the more was our Father, wow, and also lots of things we're asking for, lots of requests. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Deliver us from evil. These are all requests. Jesus says, great prayer, I'm going to draw that into the prayer I'm going to teach you, but actually, God is your Father, and you can ask him for things. That's fantastic when you look at the Lord's Prayer like that, to realise that the very thing that Jesus most added was about asking our Father for things. Fantastic. But actually, elsewhere, Jesus says, your Father already knows what you want before you ask him. So, why pray? If that's true, if God already knows what we want, why are we praying? I don't know if you remember the story of, well, it's known as the story of blind Bartimaeus, which is really the wrong name, because it really should be Bartimaeus who can see now. But anyway, it was Bartimaeus who was at the side of the road, and he was blind, and everybody was going past with Jesus, and he was shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And people were telling him to shut up because he's making too much noise. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up, you're making too much noise. Jesus, Son of... He just shouted louder and louder. And eventually Jesus said, call him over. So he came rushing over, which I imagine if he was blind must have been quite messy. And he got there. He's blind. He's been knocking everybody over on the way here. He's been calling out. So Jesus says, what do you want? What do you mean, what do you want? Surely it's obvious what he wants. But Jesus asks, what do you want? And he says, I want to see again. And so Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And he can see. But he was asked what he wanted. And in prayer, it is important that we express what we're looking for, what we're hoping for, what we would like from God. It's part of the dynamic of prayer. So that's a reason to ask, even if God knows already. Somehow in the dynamic of prayer, God wants us to actually ask specifically. So that's good. But not all prayers are answered. So why do we bother praying if not all prayers are answered? Are we just setting ourselves up for disappointment? What if this doesn't have any effect? Well, actually, all praying does have an effect. When we learn to pray in the name of Jesus, and that doesn't mean putting in the name of Jesus at the end of our prayers, that's no bad thing, but actually in the name of Jesus means much more than a bit extra at the end. It means about Jesus' character, who he is and how he works. So if you look through the Bible, when it's the name of the Lord or the name of somebody, the name was very important. It was about who they were, their character. So when we learn to pray in the name of Jesus, we're learning to pray in the way that Jesus wants things to be, the sort of things he would be willing to happen, the sort of things that his sort of things. So when we learn to pray those sort of prayers, we are changed as we learn that. The praying changes us. It makes us more open to God. It makes us more open to the way he cares about the world and the places he sees needs in the world. And we learn to pray more. And yet we don't always get what we ask for, do we? But however much it's changing us, it doesn't always change the stuff. Well, sometimes, and clearly not always, but sometimes that's a good thing. I think there are people who could say, do you know, I prayed that prayer very hard, but I now see that that was the best thing, that it didn't happen. I don't know if you've watched Bruce Almighty, the film. There's a time where Bruce gets to answer all the prayers, and then he gets a bit sick of it because there's too many of them. So he just goes, yes, 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 to everything. And the chaos that ensues is amusing. But not all prayers are good to have a yes to. But then there are the prayers, which are good prayers. They're really kind of, this is surely what God wants kind of prayers. And even so, we don't get the yes answer. And some of you will have heard the traffic light thing. Pete Gregg uses it in his explaining of this. There are some prayers which get the green light. Go, yes, it happens. Fantastic. There are other prayers where we seem to get the amber light, where it's sort of not yet. We're still waiting. We're wanting to see this happen. We're not giving up, we're not stopping, but we are waiting and looking for the go. And then other prayers do seem to get the red light. There are prayers which just don't happen. There are prayers we pray which after a certain time it's too late. It hasn't happened. And it doesn't happen. And those ones are really tough. And we're going to do, in a couple of weeks' time, a whole sermon on unanswered prayer. But just holding the space for now, don't give up. Even when that's how things are. There's a space somewhere here for us to recognise God as being loving and generous, and then a whole lot bigger than us and beyond our understanding. We don't have the whole picture. And there are times where we just cannot understand why this is going to be. And there are times when we must get so, well, frustrated, angry, heartbroken by the answers, the prayer that don't come. But what we can do is, in faith and trust in God all the same, trusting him, we can be like that toddler who is so upset, so angry, and yet they are sitting on the parent's lap and pummeling at the parent in their anger. We can approach God like that, that God we can still trust even when we don't understand, and we can come to him rather than turn away from him in the face of the stuff which he hasn't done for us, in that sense that the prayer got a no, the red light. So just leave that there, come back in a couple of weeks, or get the book and things. But I'll leave that there for now. And actually, I'm going to move on to something specifically that Pete Gregg talks about in his book. And they've got a video, a set of videos that go with it, which any of us can watch. And the links for the videos, or the starting point, are on here if you want. Or if you're not a linky sort of person, I'm sure we can get ways that you could watch them anyway. So they're there, and we're going to see him in just a bit. The question is, how do we persevere in prayer? Because surely, green light, amber light, red light, how do we anyway keep praying? And Pete Gregg suggests four things. He suggests praying with others, which is a really fantastic thing to do. He suggests praying incrementally, as he says, step by step. If you've got the big thing you're praying for, well, actually, what about looking at the first thing that would mean, the step to get there? Pray for a littler thing that will get a step towards the big thing. So that's praying incrementally. Learn to pray God's promises. Look in the Bible, see how God works, see the sort of things the Bible says that God does, and then pray for those sort of things. If you've got a situation, look in your Bible to try and work out, what does the Bible say? How can I pray God's promises, God's character, God's way into this situation? So that's three of them, and then you've got the fourth, which hopefully will come on the screen.
Pray with others, pray incrementally, pray promises God, finally pray consistently about things. We're not really good at this, are we? But don't just pray once or twice. Keep stacking dominoes. That's what these dominoes are here for. Sometimes, you know, because Jesus told stories to say that we must always pray and not give up. And maybe you could paraphrase it. He was saying, keep, like, pray the same prayer you prayed again, like another domino just goes up. And then one day, you pray that prayer you prayed a million times before, the whole lot comes down. And it's not because you just suddenly got the right technique, it's because you didn't give up praying one prayer too soon. So should we try this?
Let's do it.
Here we go. So sometimes it's like that. You just keep stacking dominoes, you keep praying the same prayers, and eventually you get the breakthrough that you've been looking for. There's a lovely story about Queen Bertha of Kent, way back in the 6th century here in England. She was a Christian, but her husband wasn't. He was a pagan king, often the way the wife gets saved first. And being a nice kind of a husband, he decided to build a chapel, a prayer room for his wife, so she could go off and do her church stuff. And she went to this prayer room every single day. And what she did in there was she prayed for her husband to come to know Jesus, for Ethelbert to get saved. It took 17 years praying in that chapel.
Wow.
Until God dramatically answered her prayers. Because in 597 AD, a bunch of monks from Rome came to England and they preached the gospel. And not only did Ethelbert finally get saved through their mission, but out of that part of England, a massive mission was launched throughout the country, and thousands turned to Christ. And the reason that Canterbury Cathedral was built by one of those monks on Ethelbert's land is because that is where his wife had been praying all those years. The heart of Anglicanism around the world to this day goes back to a wife who prayed for her husband. She kept stacking dominoes. See, Bertha, I suppose, thought she was just praying for her husband. But in fact, she was praying for a nation and for generations to come. It took 17 years of praying, but we are still feeling the consequences 1,400 years later.
Whoa. Links us in with Queen Bertha. I think that's fantastic. And I think that takes us on to, from petition, asking things, to intercession, which is being the go-between with a situation or a person who we're bringing to God and wanting God to bring his influence, his coming towards that situation or that person. That's what intercession is about. Intercession can seem daunting. When you look on our notice sheet, it says intercessions and somebody's name is against it. And you might be thinking, whoa, that's one of those people who goes to the front and prays these really great words. I couldn't do that. So there's a first reason why it might be daunting. More of that later, actually. And then also you might say, oh, somebody might be known as an intercessor. And that's a really really fantastic thing, actually. But it's also a little daunting. There are people who pray and pray, and God helps them to pray. And the church is kind of fueled by these prayers, I reckon. Pray on their own in their homes. They pray for big things that we almost dare not pray for, and yet God wants them to. And when you come to prayer meeting, it can be that there are some people who are really powerful prayers in a prayer meeting, and you'll be thinking, wow, listen to that person pray. How fantastic. That's great. There's amazing stories of that as well. I mean, look at the reading we had in the Bible of Moses, who was kind of praying as his arms were lifted up. And realize that whole battle was going with the prayer, going with the arms up, and it's good, down, and it's bad. So they sit him down and they join in, they help him. How fantastic. That's a pretty good model there anyway. So, a bit daunting this for the heavyweights, spiritual heavyweights. You can do intercession. I'm just going to stick with my petition, thank you. Well, actually, no. Because it's wonderful. The wonderful thing is that God's given all Christians the privilege of being able to be involved in prayer in a way which draws him into situations, because they are aware of one half and they draw God in from the big God half, of more than half, the whole of God. Amazing. And it's particularly amazing to think that God helps us pray when we don't know how to pray. It says very definitely in the Bible, in Romans chapter 8, it says that we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes in us. There's that word, it's intercession. We say, I don't know how to pray, help me God. And the Spirit helps us to pray. Then we are involved in intercession. All of us, any of us. It's a God thing. The Holy Spirit praying through us. But actually, God also wants us to put our wills into it. It's part of how it works, that we think of, and we put our wills into it. And somehow, amazingly, the way we pray influences the way that God works. How fantastic. There are loads of things in the Bible when people pray, when they raise their hands in prayer, which is a good biblical thing and has been happening around the world all through history, I think. Abraham who bargains with God for the fate of the town of Sodom. You've got Nehemiah who prays for his whole nation. You've got the time in Chronicles, in the book of Chronicles, where it says, where God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. When we pray, God moves. It's amazing. And there are big modern day examples. There are times where people could get someone up to the front here and say, tell us about that answer to prayer. How did that long time of praying get answered? There's amazing things that we could hear. All really good stuff. And so we might be really encouraged by that, but we would still be thinking, yeah, but this is only little me. What about me? Where do I fit into all of this? And I'm going to hand over again to the video here.
So what do we do if we feel like we're just not at that level yet, right? So you're not at the level where your prayers are changing the weather or stopping terrorist attacks. You're just praying for your neighbor's cat that's stuck on a tree or something like that. Like, how do you get from that level to the kind of intercession that you're talking about?
Okay. Four practical steps. The first one is this: get informed, engage with the facts, whether it's the needs of your neighbour, the name of the cat up the tree, or the problems that are going on in another country. Phone a friend, say, how can I pray for you today? Get to know people at work so that you can actually pray for them beyond just the office gossip. Sign up for news updates from NGOs that you want to support. So just the facts, your friends, get the data, get informed. Secondly, get inspired. Engage God's word. What's God saying about this person or this place, this situation? Maybe there's a promise in scripture that you can claim. So you're not just praying randomly for some person at work, but God, what are you saying here? So that's the second, get inspired. The The third one is get indignant, okay?
Love that word.
Yeah, just get fired up, engage your own heart. Allow the things that break God's heart to break your heart too. Feel this stuff. I guess it's kind of outrageous when God wants something to happen in a particular personal place and it's being resisted, it's not happening. That is outrageous, isn't it? Because God's will should be done. And so intercessory prayer can often be quite forceful, quite passionate. Finally, having got informed, got inspired, got indignant, get in sync. Get in sync with other Christians. Engage the saints, because it's more powerful to intercede with other people. Jesus says that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. And that's why this word amen is actually such a powerful thing to say. It's not just like a formal religious way of signing off at the end of the prayer time. It literally means, I agree with what's been said. Let it happen.
I love that. It's so helpful. So we're going to get informed,
right.
Get inspired,
yeah.
My favorite, get indignant,
yes.
And get in sync.
There we go. Good stuff. If you want to have other ways of remembering this stuff, do have a look through links on here or through the book. Stuff there. I'm coming into land, but I just a couple of things. First of all, I think I need to be honest here, because I think you see me as the person who stands at the front and prays the prayers, and actually by the grace of God and because of how he made me and the experiences I've had and the training I've had, I do love praying in public, and I do sense the Spirit working in me, and it's a fantastic privilege. But my private prayer life is pretty rubbish, actually. I am not this great prayer warrior at home. And for the last couple of years, my prayers at home have pretty much been a bit like Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Or have mercy on them. Or have mercy on in this situation. That's pretty much as far as my prayers have gone. And it's not a great thing to write home about, but it is the reality of where my prayers have been. I've then gone and preached this sermon where I've been saying, look at Bartimaeus, and he says, have mercy on me, and Jesus says, what do you want? So I'm now challenged to think, I'm praying, Jesus, have mercy, and thinking, that's my prayer for now, and then, what do you want, John? So I'm going to have to start thinking a bit harder about this. I'm taking it as my challenge for Lent, which is starting on Wednesday, to say, do you know what? While I'm praying, have mercy, which is a very good thing. God's mercy is amazing, and God's knowledge of a situation is amazing. And so that's a fantastic thing to pray. But then Jesus says, what do you want, John? So I'm going to have to start saying, okay, well, what do I actually, when I'm praying that prayer, let me just go a bit deeper. So you will be amazed at how many people really don't rate their prayer life very much at all. Some people, it's great, but most of us are saying, don't ask me that question. It's not where I'd like it to be. And yet we are all children of God, children of our Father, and he actually loves us and would love us to just keep taking the little steps to get more prayerful in whatever way that might be. So, thing one. Thing two is about Lent. We are coming towards Lent. Maybe you can take this opportunity to find a prayer buddy through Lent. This might mean that you actually get the chance to go and meet with somebody and sit down and pray with them. Or it might be that you get to go and meet with somebody and sit down quietly and just pray quietly in silence. Or it might be that you just say, can I text you every now and then, or can we WhatsApp so that we're just reminding each other to pray, or saying what answers to prayer we've had or something. Get technical if you want to. I mean, like technology stuff. Prayer goes with the times. And we just find ways that you can encourage each other to pray. And if you want to, or if you can, do come along to the times when we're gathering as a church here through Lent. So starting not actually this week, but next week, Monday week. There's a whole load of times in the sheet which tell you when we're meeting here. We'll be praying in different ways on those different occasions. But it's really an opportunity to get together with other people and to pray. So do get involved with others. Take Lent as a great 40 days of opportunity to think about your prayer, the fact that God has you as part of his wonderful plans for this world that you can be involved in by praying. It's absolutely awesome. And in the end, it's all about how God loves us as our Father, and it's all about getting to know Jesus and learning what it means to be in the will of Jesus, praying in the name of Jesus, and that thing about getting to know Jesus better. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, says Jesus. So the other stuff that we long for, he says, focus away from that towards God, getting to know God. We're going to actually do some praying in a moment, but first of all, we're going to sing what for many of you will be, oh, this old one, but actually it reminds us of God and the way that we put him first. We can put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.